Welcome to the 20% True Podcast, Season 2, Dubious Creatures, Episode 4, The Jackalopes. I'm Carolyn Rahaman. The first key to dealing with jackalopes is to talk as little as possible. The critters like to mimic anything they hear, and talking around them just gives them ammunition. Joni's grandpa communicated mostly in grunts when working with the jackalopes, a private communication that was a secret just between the two of them. They had a whole language, her and her grandpa and her grandpa's grimaces and eyebrow lifts, jerking his chin and counting down on his fingers, 3, 2, 1, now. She was the only one who understood him, and she was the only one who understood his love for the jackalopes. Joni's mom hated the Jacks, and hated the Jack men who came to the house. "Hate's such a strong word," her mom said. Joni had raised a single skeptical eyebrow. I disapprove. You and your grandpa could find much better ways to spend your time. And as for the Jack men, well, I could think of some better things they could be doing too. Ways that ought not to be repeated, and should happen far away from here." When Joni's mom opened the door at the Jack men's knocks, any politeness she might have had flew away. They asked for Joni's grandpa, and she crossed her arms over her chest to block their entrance into the house, like Little John guarding the bridge. Shouting, "Dad, it's for you!" she glared at the men until Joni's grandpa came along. Then she stomped back to the kitchen, wiping her hands on a dishcloth and wiping her hands at the whole thing. Joni slipped out the front door in her wake. The Jack men didn't understand the precaution of conducting business out on the front porch, so the Jacks wouldn't hear. They didn't understand until they were lost in the woods the next weekend, led astray by the sound of their own voices whispering, "Which one? There he is, over here." Even repeat customers, who caught on to their mistakes in the heat of the hunt, would wave off precautions on a second go. Joni understood, and she stayed quiet. One of the men had a worn orange baseball cap. He glanced once at the door, like he could look through it to see if Joni's mom had really left, and then he decided to tactfully move on. "How are you today, Mr. Dermot?" "Can't complain," said Joni's grandpa. "What could I do for you?" As if there was more than one thing they could want. With the same lazy ease, the man said, "Hoping you had a couple jackalopes for sale." "For hunting?" "Yes, sir, 2 if you could." Her grandpa thought, chewing his cheek and calculating in his head. "Probably do have a couple. What kind of score are you looking for?"
80.
"That'll be pricey." Grandpa nodded to himself. "I got some that might do. You looking to take them now?"
"If we could."
Grandpa nodded again, then named a price and took out a spiral notebook from his back pocket to write the men a receipt. Unsurprised by the figure, they handed over the envelope with the cash already counted and ready. Her grandpa counted it again, thumbing through the bills and whispering as he counted. 120, 140, 160. The men asked for a recommendation for a taxidermist, and her grandpa slipped them Tim Evans' card, singing his praises. Tim Evans smelled like Old Spice, but he did some mighty fine taxidermy. The Jackman's eyes glazed over as Joni's grandpa went through the safety measures and some tips that new Jackman might not know. One of these fellows had been here before, and he didn't appreciate being patronized. His lips pressed tight together, and he shifted from one foot to the other, though he kept his mouth shut and let Grandpa talk. All the new Jackmen were impatient too, and the speech never sunk in, no matter how many times they heard it. Joni's grandpa clapped his hands and rubbed them together. "All right, if you'll just follow me around back, the girl and I will get your jacks." The men shot their first look at Joni, who sat cross-legged on the porch glider. They gave her a confused look, but dismissed her as her grandpa headed down the porch steps. Joni followed, quick and quiet. They had to go around the house instead of through, as per Joni's mom's rules. Grandpa held open the gate and the fence and bowed them all through, handing it off to Joni to close up, while he led the Jackmen toward the jackalopes. Joni's grandpa had built 4 rabbit hutches out in the yard and painted them to look like miniature versions of their house, with green trim and 2 little round windows in the front that made it look kind of like an owl. Each hutch had an outdoor run like a mini version of their yard, except the big yard wasn't enclosed on all sides and on the top with chicken wire. Joni always imagined making an even smaller model of the house in the yard to put in the run, and then one even smaller than that. It would be like standing between two mirrors and looking into infinity. But her grandpa had called the idea superfluous, waving it away as he touched up some of the paint the jackalopes had scratched off. The jacks would probably trample her little models anyway, smashing them with their antlers, and then biting into the remains with their nasty little teeth, shaking the tiny houses back and forth, and littering their run with slivers of wood that would get lodged in their paws, requiring Joni and her grandpa to get them some doctoring. The pens had dispensers, tubes that ran from outside the pen to a trough on the ground, so Joni and her grandpa could stay safely outside to pour the jacks' feed. Sometimes, when it was a new bag that weighed the full 20 pounds, and Joni swayed as she hefted it up on her shoulder, and the two big gloves that came up to her elbows had trouble getting traction, she missed the tube opening, and stray cornmeal would shower into the grass. As long as most of it got in there, no one really cared. Finesse was much less important than safety, no matter what the jackalope said. Joni's mom never believed she was being careful. She wouldn't come out when the jackmen were around, but whenever they weren't and she got Joni tending the critters, she would stick her head out the back door and shout, "I see you putting your face right up against that chicken wire, don't you think I don't?" Joni's grandpa would scoff and plod up to the house to have a disagreement out of earshot. "Don't shout by the jacks." "I'll shout where I please." "Then don't shout at the girl. She knows better than to be a dummy around the critters." Joni's mom popped her hip. "First of all, she's my daughter and I can tell her not to get her nose swiped off. And if I do tell her, she best mind. Second of all, that nonsense sure doesn't look smart to me. If she was smart, she'd never come near those monsters, much less go out every day cuddling them. And never saying a word because the jacks might hear. If you were smart, you'd send her on her way. And if I were smart, I'd sell the whole lot of them off to the next jackman who comes to the door." "Talking's overrated," her grandpa said. "No, it is not." Her voice dropped lower. She didn't care about the jacks hearing, but she cared about Joni listening in. Of course, it didn't work. "She's not making friends, Dad. She should be hanging around with kids her own age, not an old man and a bunch of tricky critters. How's she going to function out in the world?"
"She's smart. Too smart for the kids in the neighborhood."
"Oh, she's too good for them now, is she?"
"Like mother, like daughter, I guess."
Joni slipped out of the yard and escaped down to the creek behind the house. She kept a sketch pad inside a gallon Ziploc bag hidden under a big rock in the water in a slow bend of the creek. She sat still as a statue, her bare feet in the water, barely breathing, barely blinking, until the birds gathered and the minnows nibbled at her toes and the deer came out of the woods. Then she sketched them, quiet so the scratching of her pencil blended with the trickle of the creek. Someday she would sketch the jacks from memory. Someday she'd sketch leaves, like the old naturalists exploring the new world. Joni's grandpa stopped by the second hutch and pointed at one of the critters, a big sandy one with 4 points, antlers set wide and thick on its head. This one liked to ram the side of the hutch, leaving dents in the side. He was dumb for a jack, but he was fast and he was vicious. The men leaned in and arched their necks to peer at him, then nodded. Her grandpa nodded too, then pointed to a second critter. This one a 3-pointer with a bunch of abnormal points, making it look like a tree that had gotten out of hand. He sat very still, staring at them. He was a smart one who'd give the hunters a good chase. If there was ever a jack who'd get away on a hunt, which happened more often than the jackmen liked to admit, this was the one. He might even get the big bruiser of a jack free while he was at it. The jackmen frowned, probably more concerned about the lower score for the jack's antlers than for biting off more smarts than they could handle. Sure enough, the one in the puffy red coat and high top said, "Not so big, is he?" The jack's ears twitched. "He's an 83, Grandpa said, his voice clipped. "Measured last week." The jackmen fell into a lengthy discussion. They didn't quite believe it was an 83. And if it was, it was a messy-looking 83. "And what about that other jack there?" And Joni's grandpa had to explain that one wasn't for sale. And the jackmen circled the cage to get a look at the smart one from the side, the back, the front again. The jack held very still, listening. Joni clenched her fists. "How fast is he? How fierce are his attacks?" The jack's ears twitched. Joni's shoulders shook. She had an urge to stomp her foot, to snap her fingers at the men and then mime locking her lips shut, all while glaring daggers at them. Did the width of the skull matter? Because it looked kind of big. What about the hind legs? Wasn't its coat kind of long for a jackalope? What did his voice sound like? These were questions Joni could have answered since she was crawling. Questions the jackmen could have easily looked up online.
They had no business buying a jack and letting it free to chase it, if they didn't know that its voice could change. They probably didn't know the critters got their vocabulary from the jackmen. "Smart," she snapped. The men fell silent and stared at her. They'd forgotten she was there. "He's smart." She tacked on a pointed glare. At least she thought it was pointed. She wasn't sure the jackmen got it, but they did share a look, then shrugged and agreed. Joni and her grandpa got the whiskey ready, going to the shed and filling a chrome dog bowl with hooch. Her grandpa unscrewed the cap and let her pour, a loud glug-glug coming from the handle that was at first heavy in her hands, but got lighter as she poured. He let her carry the bowl, carefully in both hands, moving slowly and minding her step the whole way back to the hutch. She set it down and they both pulled on thick, elbow-length gloves. Extra fabric hung a quarter inch off of each of her fingers. Her grandpa took over, setting the bowl on the section Lazy Susan that worked like the revolving doors at the mall, letting them move the bowl into the cage without ever giving the jacks a way out. The jacks were tricky about it. They watched, propped up on their hind legs with their ears perked, still as old live oaks with their branching antlers. Her grandpa unlocked the Lazy Susan, and the jackalopes waited for the height of inconvenience, for him to be halfway through rotating it. Then they shouted, "Crazy old bum!" They made a break for it, cramming paws and antlers into the revolving door, blocking its rotation. Jack buddies piled against each other, the big jack smashing against the pen's chicken wire and sending the jackmen back a pace. The jacks crammed in, scrambling with their paws, wedging their shoulders into it, using their antlers like levers, trying to rotate the Lazy Susan, to make their escape, to claw and snap. Joni wedged her arm into the revolving door at an awkward angle and slapped a palm against the plastic so they startled back, smacking little paws until they popped free and the Lazy Susan turned a quarter inch more. The second they were free, Grandpa slammed the Lazy Susan the rest of the way around, spinning it so fast it snapped at the loose folds of Joni's gloves. He snapped the lock into place just as another jack slammed against the plexiglass. The Lazy Susan shuddered, but didn't move. The jackmen were breathing hard. The jack shook himself, then looked around, giving up as easily as he'd taken on the challenge. Whiskey had splashed all over the revolving door, but there was plenty left in the bowl, and the jacks didn't care if the stuff was in the bowl or not. Joni and her grandpa waited as the jacks drank, hopping up, gathering around, lapping at the drink. Grandpa took the gloves back to the shed and poked around there for a while. One of the jackmen got out his phone. A few minutes later, the other did too. Eventually, the jackalope started to sway. Their movements grew lazy. Their eyes blinked slowly and they held their heads at angles, like their antlers were too heavy. The snocker jacks stumbled back to their hutch to sleep it off, turning in one at a time. Joni and her grandpa gave them another 5 minutes after the run emptied, and then went around the pen. The back of the hutch opened like a cupboard, with two big doors and three sets of padlocks. And when they opened, there were the eight jacks, all passed out in open sprawls, their chests heaving, their legs twitching as they ran in their sleep. At least two of the jacks had whistling snores. Grandpa carefully lifted the big jack, setting him in the carrier that the jackmen had brought. He hefted the smart one, cradling its limp body in his arms. He gave it a long look, almost like he was saying goodbye. Joni reached out and gave it a pet. It was warm, its fur soft and its side rising and falling under her palm. "Good luck," she thought. Her grandpa hurried it into its carrier. Joni looked back towards the house as the jackmen left. Her mom looked back at her from the kitchen window, mad as a hornet. The second key to dealing with jackalopes is to never react. They will catch phrases and lob them back, hoping one will hit home, but they don't understand the words they use. They might not even know their words. The only way they know they've grabbed something good is if you react. A startle, a wince, a squawk, a response of "Hey," or "Am not," or "Shut up." That's how they know they've struck gold. That's how they know what they have is usable. Joni'd made the mistake of reacting once when some kids from school followed her home, calling her four eyes and throwing rocks. She'd made the mistake of crying, of running to hide behind one of the hutches, curled up with her face behind horrible thick glasses pressed to her knees, snot and tears wet on her face like sweat, and her face as bright red as on a summer day.
She hid until the kids left and she stopped crying and the scrapes on her hands from where she'd fallen trying to run away had given up bleeding. She hadn't wanted her mom to see. But really, her mom would have been so much better than the jackalopes. They all shouted four eyes at her, their voices pitched perpetually high and nasal like the boys that had mocked her. The boys grew up, but their voices in the jackalopes' throats did not. All the jacks that had witnessed her laid low had been sold off, but not before they'd passed on the taunt to their offspring, and their offspring's offspring. Today, Joni wore contacts, but the mocking carried on. She no longer let it get to her. She didn't respond. She let it wash over her like the deafening crashing of trees in a high wind, like an ambulance siren, like something loud but without meaning, something unrelated to herself. Her grandpa said they'd eventually get bored. They'd realize it wasn't worth saying anymore. Maybe another 10 years or so. She prided herself on her silence, on her stoicism. She liked to think that it made her grandpa proud, too. So when she went back to the house, she did not react to her mom's anger. "You're petting them now? Joanna, have you lost your mind?" Joni passed her to get some orange juice from the fridge. "It was drugged," she said. "I don't care if the damn thing was dead. The only reason I could think you'd want to pet one is because you made friends with it. Getting sentimental over them, getting sloppy." "It was drugged," Joni repeated, calm, collected. Joni's mom threw her arms in the air. "You are misunderstanding me, and you're doing it on purpose. I'm not being irrational, no matter how much you and your grandpa try to make me think I am. I am your mother, and I'm trying to look out for you, keep you safe. I'm worried you're going to get mauled, and I'm worried that with the way you act, you're going to push people away. You'll be alone forever." "Like mother, like daughter, I guess." Her mom choked. She stood there and stared, her face falling, her eyes heartbroken. And Joni stared back, calm, collected. "Never react," she reminded herself. "They'll know what hurts. They'll know you can hurt." "Talk as little as possible," she reminded herself. "Don't give them ammunition. Don't let them know they can hurt you." Joni turned on her heel and marched down to the creek, holding herself back enough not to run. The 20% True podcast was written and produced by me, Carolyn Rahaman. Music was composed by Kamiku. If you like the show, please rate and review on iTunes so new people can find it. Follow the podcast on Facebook at facebook.com/20percenttrue, where you can leave comments, ask questions, and discuss the cruelty of the jackalope trade. Check out my website, 20percenttrue.blogspot.com, for updates, thoughts on writing, and book reviews. Or follow me on Twitter at CarrieNTheHits.